This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Did Ali Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam ever use poetry as an example? Did he ever have like a piece of poetry that he recited or repeated, or he used as a proverb or found value in pointing out? And it's just a question that came because poetry for the Arab was the documentation of their history, of their legacy, of their culture. It was all put together in poetry. So the Arabic nation did not build great tall buildings or leave large architectural findings. What they left was a legacy of literature, a very strong and rich legacy of literature. And within that literature, they documented all of their habits and their stories and their the heroism and the fights and the glory and the defeats, and everything was there. So it's a big deal. And the Prophet ﷺ brought the Quran. So there's always this understanding that he was trying to override shir, which is not the case at all. He had no interest in doing that. He actually enjoyed poetry. I'm going to write these hadith tonight and tomorrow just to kind of prove that piece. He didn't come and say, get rid of poetry, here's the Quran. No. The Quran is something different. The Quran is revelation. It's the word of God. Shir, poetry, is a part of life. It's a part of the human experience. So when she was asked, Aisha, this question, what examples of poetry did the Prophet ﷺ repeat? قالت كان يتمثل بشعر ابن رواحة ويتمثل ويقول يأتيك بالأخبار من لم تزودي. She said he would always repeat the poetry of Abdullah ibn Rawaha, one of his poets, and he would repeat this one piece of poetry that is not actually written by Abdullah ibn Rawaha. It's authored by Tarafa ibn al-Abd, one of the great poets of pre-Islamic time, one of the authors of the Mu'allaqat. The Arabs went a little bit too far when it came to poetry. Some poems were of such cultural value that they wrote them with golden ink, and they hung them inside the Kaaba as a way to kind of talk about their value. And there are seven pieces of poetry that got that, and one of them was the poetry written by Tarafa ibn al-Abd, who was a young man who died before the age of 30. But he said some of the most influential poetry of his time, and a part of what he said, قَلْ وَيَأْتِيكَ بِالْأَخْبَارِ مَنْ لَمْ تُزَوِّدِ. And sometimes you'll be supplied with information by someone you did not actually put up for the job. Meaning, you don't always know where you're going to get your next chance. You don't always know who is it that's going to be of most benefit to you. Sometimes you'll put up someone for a job, and they won't do it, and then someone else will do it for free of charge, because it's just how life works. So that's the first hadith. The second one, قَالَ حَدَّثَنَا مُحَمَّدُ بْنُ الْمُثَنَّى قَالَ حَدَّثَنَا مُحَمَّدُ بْنُ جَعْفَرٍ قَالَ حَدَّثَنَا شُعْبَةُ عَنِ الْأَسْوَدِ بْنِ قَيْسٍ عَنْ جُنْدُبِ بْنِ سُفْيَانَ الْبَجَلِي رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ قَالَ أَصَابَ حَجَرٌ أصبع رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فدميت. He said the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام once, during a ghazwa or during a travel, his finger was hit by a rock of some sort or a pebble, and it bled. So he was bleeding from one of his fingers, عليه الصلاة والسلام. This is one of the Sahaba, his name is Jundub ibn Sufyan al-Bajali. He's telling us this story. يقول فقال صلى الله عليه وسلم, the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام said, قال هل أنت إلا إصبع دميتي وفي سبيل الله ما لقيتي. What are you aside from a finger that shed a little bit of blood, and it's for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that this happened? So it's not something that that I need to be upset. It's not something I should be upset about. I should not be focused on the fact that I lost blood or I was injured. This injury is for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this, what he said, was not perfectly put together poetry, because he wasn't a poet, alayhi salatu wasalam, but it sounded good enough that the Sahaba would talk about it. And they would commonly, the Sahaba would smile and grin when the Prophet ﷺ tried to say poetry, because it never came out with the proper the proper structure of it. So they'd come and kind of giggle under their breath and repeat whatever he said, ﷺ, even though it didn't follow the structure of appropriate poetry, ﷺ. And I always believed in my heart that he did that on purpose. This is a sideline, has nothing to do with today's khatir. I just want to share it with you. This is one of my kind of understanding. I always believed he did that on purpose. He was way too intelligent not to be able to pick up some simple rhythms of poetry. He was way too smart, alayhi salam. He knew so much of this poetry that I know for a fact that he knew some of these rhythms. But it was as if he wanted to leave something for the Sahaba where they could relate. You see, he was so good at everything, alayhi salatu wasalam, he was almost seen like a superhuman. When you're good at literally everything that people are good at, people struggle to relate to you. So alayhi salatu wasalam would leave something open, that I don't know how to do that. I don't understand it, I don't know how to say it. And it, as if that piece, just him not knowing how to put together like a verse of poetry, or not memorizing poetry and always saying it wrong, was something that the Sahaba, yani, felt that they could relate to him through, alayhi salatu wasalam. That he's great at everything, but this one thing he doesn't. But I know he knew how to do it, alayhi salatu wasalam, because it's not that complicated. It's not that difficult. It's just, I see it in the way I look at it, is just a very intelligent move from him, alayhi salatu wasalam, to better relate to some of the Sahaba in kind of how they live their lives. And I just thought something worth sharing with you. يروي الإمام الترمذي في صحيح في جامعه عن جندب ابن سفيان البجلي رضي الله عنه قال أصاب حجر أصبع رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فدميت فقال هل أنت إلا أصبع دميتي وفي سبيل الله ما لقيتي.